Okay, if you'll take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. This morning we're in Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 31. Our message series really stretches all the way from Matthew chapter 10 through Matthew chapter 12, and we are focusing on the theme of mission and conflict. So last week we introduced the theme of mission, so you guessed it, this week we get to conflict. Conflict. We are all called to be on mission from God. We are all called to share the gospel with those around us. We are all called to participate in bringing the gospel to the world. But today we learn that once we go on mission, once we start fulfilling the mission God has for us in our lives, that mission also involves conflict. And even as Jesus sent his disciples out on mission, he warned them. He sent them out and he warned them about opposition. And he encouraged them to stay the course. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 31 in Matthew 10 this morning. But for right now, we're just going to read verse 16. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. These are the words of Jesus. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at this verse and the verses following, Lord, this is a challenging message for us this morning as we look at the flip side of mission, conflict. And Lord, I pray that even as you spoke these words of warning and encouragement to your disciples, that we would also find encouragement from your word this morning. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So how do you deal with conflict in your life? Many of us, probably most of us, do not like conflict, and we will do anything we can to avoid conflict, right? But what if the conflict is unavoidable? What do you do then? And in today's passage, Jesus makes it clear that conflict is unavoidable when you are on mission for him. In fact, the only way to avoid the conflict is to avoid the mission. And that is not an option for us when you are a follower of Jesus. To follow Jesus is to be on mission. Avoiding the mission means you are no longer following Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at Jesus' instructions as he sent the 12 disciples out on their very first mission, right? And now here in verse 16, Jesus continues his instructions for mission. But we're going to see that these instructions now go beyond that initial mission. For example, last week, we saw that the initial mission was to who? It was to the lost sheep of Israel. It was only to the Jewish people at that time. But now you're going to see Jesus will speak about us being witnesses before governors and kings and Gentiles. And so, yeah, now this is an extension of that mission, an extension of those instructions. Last week, we learned that we are to look for people who are receptive to the gospel. But now here, Jesus warns us that there are going to be people who are strongly opposed to the gospel. And so today, we move from receptivity to opposition, from hospitality to hostility. And even though Jesus tells us we should expect opposition in our mission, he also tells us that we do not need to be afraid. So as we look at these verses this morning, the passage is going to begin with three warnings about expecting opposition, and then the passage will end with three words of encouragement to stay the course. If I was going to summarize the whole passage in one sentence, here it is. Ready? Expect opposition, but don't be afraid. Expect opposition, but don't be afraid. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along on the different points and verses we'll be looking at this morning. But let's begin now with these three warnings that Jesus gives us first, where Jesus warns us to expect opposition. We go back to verse 16 where we started this morning, where Jesus says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes. We sometimes read that, wise as serpents. You might have heard that. Shrewd as snakes, wise as serpents, and as innocent as doves. Now, Jesus uses several animal images here. We have sheep, wolves, snakes, and doves. What does he mean by all of these? Well, sheep are used as a symbol in a number of ways throughout Scripture. Here, though, they represent the innocence and the defenselessness of believers as we go forth on mission to share the gospel with others. Well, who are the wolves then? Well, the wolves represent those who oppose the gospel and those who will attack believers for their faith. And because Jesus sends us out like sheep among wolves, that's why he tells us that we need to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. To be shrewd is to act wisely. And Jesus is saying that you need to be wise in the way that you act towards non-believers. Don't provoke persecution, but don't be afraid of it either. And that we should be as innocent as doves. And the word translated innocent here, it's a word that means unmixed. And so what Jesus is saying is your motives and your actions as you go forth on mission should be unmixed. Your motives should be pure. You should be blameless in all of your actions. If you do suffer, you should suffer simply for being a Christian, not for doing wrong. There's no need to be obnoxious as you're sharing the gospel, or you're going to be suffering for the wrong reasons. Now Jesus gives us these three direct warnings about the opposition that we are going to face as we go forward on mission. He tells us three things here. He says you need to be on guard against men, be on guard against hatred, and be on guard against slander. First of all, be on your guard against men. Now later on in this series, in Matthew 10 through 12, when we get to chapter 12, we are going to learn that the true opposition doesn't really come from people, okay? The true opposition comes from Satan himself. However, that opposition will usually manifest itself through other people and their opposition to Christ. So know that people are going to try to stop you from sharing the gospel. They're going to try to stop you from sharing the gospel, and that opposition can be very sharp and painful. Look at verse 17 now. Jesus says, "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils. They will flog you in their synagogues." Now, there are many believers around the world, even today and throughout history, who have been arrested or physically harmed simply for sharing the gospel. Now, we don't experience that type of persecution here in the United States, but there is a growing tension, even in our own country, when it comes to religious liberties and matters of conscience, both in your speech and at work. And so the persecution continues to grow and continues to develop. And we will all face persecution in much more minor ways when we seek to share the gospel. People will try to stop you from sharing the gospel one way or another. And as they do that, you need to realize that God is using you as a witness to them. Look at verse 18 where Jesus says this. He says, "On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles." Now, once again, this is another reason we know that Jesus is no longer talking just about that initial mission of the 12 to the Jewish people. Here he's envisioning us being brought before kings and governors and Gentiles, non-Jews as well. Notice Jesus says, "On my account." Once again, he's not talking about us being dragged before the authorities because we've done something wrong. Rather, this is on account of Jesus and our witness for Jesus. People are going to try to stop you from sharing the gospel, but when that happens, realize, know what's happening. God is using you as a witness to them. Now, that can be pretty intimidating to be sharing the gospel with anyone and they try to stop you. But can you imagine being brought before governors and kings, people with authority to punish you, authority to bring very direct consequences into your life? And so Jesus has another word of encouragement for us here. He tells you the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Look at verses 19 and 20. He says, "But when they arrest you," notice he assumes that could and will happen. Even in our country at some time, "when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Jesus says, when you get arrested, for sharing the gospel. He says, don't worry. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say. Notice he says the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. What to say. That's the actual words themselves. He will tell you what to say. Not only that, the Holy Spirit will direct you how to say it. Do you see that? What and how is in there. The Holy Spirit will give you the proper attitude and manner to present the words. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. He will direct you how to say it. And the Holy Spirit will help you when you need it. Jesus says, at that time, you'll be given what to say. At that time literally means in that hour. And so you may not actually know what you're going to say beforehand. You might be thinking in your head, what am I going to say? How do I defend myself? How do I be a good witness for Christ? You may not know beforehand, but God says, don't worry. At that time, God will give you the help precisely at the time that you need it. And so Jesus says, don't worry. The Holy Spirit's going to help you with the what, the how, and the when of your witness. You don't need to worry because it won't be you speaking. It will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. By the way, this promise is not only for those more extreme situations, like when you're maybe arrested for your faith. That's an extreme situation. Anytime you take that step of faith to share the gospel with someone else, the Holy Spirit will help you with what to say and how to say it, and he will help you at the exact time that you need it. Notice what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit here. I love this. He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of your Father. The Spirit of your Father. This reminds us of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus repeatedly spoke of God as your Father, your Heavenly Father. And so, yes, you're going to face opposition in sharing the gospel, but God is your Heavenly Father, and he will help you in your time of need. So that's the first one. Jesus says, be on your guard against men. They're going to try to stop you from sharing the gospel, but God is using you as a witness to them, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Next, Jesus tells us, be on your guard against hatred. Be on your guard against hatred. And here Jesus warns us that even family members may turn against you. Look at verse 21. He says, brother will betray brother to death. And a father, his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Now, we're going to be talking more about family divisions in the gospel. Remember, our whole theme is mission and conflict. We're going to be talking about the conflict that happens in families later on as we continue to move our way through Matthew 10 through 12. But for right now, just know this, that even family members may turn against you because of the gospel. And notice the extreme hatred that's at play in these verses. Because this can manifest itself in betrayal, rebellion, and even death. Jesus says that even when people hate you, we need to stand firm and persevere for the sake of the gospel. Look at verse 22. He says, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Jesus is pointing forward to a time of widespread hatred and persecution of believers. And why are believers hated? Jesus says, it's because of me. It's because of Jesus and your love for Jesus and the message that you bring, standing strong in the gospel. And here Jesus highlights the importance of perseverance and endurance. Yes, people will hate you because of Jesus, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Notice Jesus also tells you to escape persecution when you can. Look at verse 23. Jesus says, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. In other words, persecution is going to come, but you don't need to make yourself a sitting duck for it. See, this is part of that being wise as serpents and innocent as doves, right? Jesus says it is okay to escape persecution when you can. Now, the Apostle Paul was persecuted for his faith. Sometimes he couldn't escape it. He went to prison. He was flogged. But when he could escape it, he did. Acts chapter 9, they let Paul over the wall of the city in a basket. Remember that? Another time in Acts 22, Paul uses his Roman citizenship to avoid being flogged. There's no sense being flogged or beaten up if you don't have to, right? And so escape persecution when you can. Back to Matthew 10, 23, the second part of this verse is a difficult verse to understand, because it almost seems like Jesus is saying that he's going to return before the disciples finish sharing the gospel in Israel. That's what it seems to say in the face of it, and yet the gospel has already gone out to Israel. The 12 came back from their mission trip. Jesus has not returned yet. How are we to understand this verse? Well, there's several ways that we could understand this phrase, the Son of Man coming, in this verse. One way, the phrase could simply mean Jesus coming back from the dead. That's one option. Or it could mean Jesus coming to the Father at the ascension. Daniel 7:13 talks about Jesus coming into the presence of the Father when he ascended to heaven. It could also mean Jesus coming in judgment against Israel at the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. That's another time when God or Christ is spoken of as coming. Or it could mean Jesus' second coming. I think either option 2 or 3 are most likely for what Jesus is saying here. But what is more important for us to grasp in this verse is the sense of urgency. Jesus was pushing a sense of urgency on his disciples, and that same sense of urgency applies for us today, because Jesus is coming back, and in sense number 4, he is returning. And so we need to be active in sharing the gospel. Jesus says, be on your guard against men, be on your guard against hatred. And then thirdly, be on your guard against slander. Look at Matthew 10, 24. Jesus says, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. It's a very simple illustration here. He's using the student-teacher relationship, the servant-master relationship, to make a point for us. Student's not above his teacher. Student doesn't tell the teacher what to do. The teacher tells the student, right? Good student listens to the teacher and learns from the teacher. How about the servant and the master? The servant's not above the master. What does the good servant do? The good servant listens to the master, follows the master's instructions. The good student is like his teacher. The good servant is like his master. What's Jesus' point? Jesus is the teacher. We're the students. Jesus is the master. We're his servants. We're not above him. He's above us. And so we are going to be like him. What happens to Jesus happens to us. And the point here is this, is if people attacked Jesus, well, he's the teacher, he's the master. And we're supposed to be like him. If people attack Jesus, don't be surprised if they attack you. Look at verse 25 now. Jesus continues. He says, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Now Jesus uses a third illustration. Head of the household, members of the household. Jesus is the head, we're the members. Jesus was slandered. The Jewish leaders called him Beelzebub or Satan. That's really what that word means. They called him Satan. And once again, we're going to learn more about these accusations when we get to Matthew chapter 12. But the point here is this. If people slandered Jesus, don't be surprised if they slander you as well. So Jesus says, expect opposition. He gives us 3 direct warnings. Be on your guard against men. Be on your guard against hatred. Be on your guard against slander. But now Jesus follows up those 3 warnings with 3 words of encouragement. And he gives us encouragement to stay the course. 3 times in the next verses he tells us, do not be afraid. You know that's the most common command you'll find in all the Bible? Do not be afraid. Someone once said, I've never counted it up, that there's 365 times in the Bible it says, do not be afraid. 1 for every day of the year. Maybe, I don't know. But I do know it's in there a lot. And you can just take one of those commands and use it every day of the year anyways, right? But do not be afraid. 3 times in the next verse he tells us, do not be afraid. Even though we should expect opposition, we do not need to be afraid. And he gives us 3 reasons now. First of all, because truth will win out. Truth will win out. Everything hidden is going to be revealed, and therefore we can be bold in sharing the gospel. Look at verse 26. Jesus says this. He says, so Do not be afraid of them. After he's told you all the terrible things that they're going to do to you, he says, do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden, that will not be made known. What is Jesus saying? Everything hidden will be revealed. Men's evil deeds, they will be exposed. Justice will prevail. God's servants will be vindicated. Everything hidden will be revealed, and therefore we can be bold in sharing the gospel. That's what Jesus says in verse 27. He says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Truth is going to win out. Everything hidden will be revealed, and so we can be bold in sharing the gospel. That's the first word of encouragement. That's the first do not be afraid that we find in these verses. Now Jesus goes on to tell us another reason why we don't need to be afraid. Basically, he's saying, fear God and nothing else. Look at verse 28. Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, we've been talking about some extreme persecution, being arrested, being physically harmed, perhaps even being put to death. But Jesus says here, don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body. Why? Because they cannot kill your soul. You see, as believers, we no longer need to be afraid of death, because when you die, what happens? Your spirit immediately goes to be with God in heaven. The Bible says for the believer, to live is Christ and to die is gain. To go on living in the body means fruitful labor for the Lord, but to depart from your body and to be with Christ is better by far. And then we also know that when Jesus returns, he's also going to resurrect your body as well. So Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body. Rather, fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Don't be afraid of people who can only inflict temporary harm. Rather, fear God, who holds eternity in his hands. And what does it mean to fear God? When you fear God in your life, it means you have reverence for him. It means that you live your life in awe of him. It means you confess your sins to him. It means you receive Jesus as your Savior. And when you do all of those things, when you fear God in your life, all other fear is gone. When you fear God, you need not fear anything else. So that's the second. Don't be afraid in this passage. Don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body. That's nothing. Rather, fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And then finally, the third word of encouragement here, Jesus assures you that God will take care of you, that nothing happens apart from your Father's will, that God knows you intimately and he cares for you. Look at verse 29. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Now, sparrows then as now were just common birds. They were sold cheaply in the marketplace as food for people who were poor. Nobody gave a second thought about a sparrow falling to the ground. No one, that is, except God. Jesus says not a single sparrow anywhere in the whole world falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father, literally without your Father. In other words, nothing happens without God. Nothing happens apart from God's knowledge and will and his care and concern. Notice that Jesus calls God your Father again here, right? God is your heavenly Father. You are his child. And that means that he will take care of you. Jesus says you don't need to be afraid because nothing happens apart from your Father's will, and God knows you intimately, and he cares for you. We finish up here now with verses 30 and 31, where Jesus says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now, this always amazed me as a child, and it still does. That God knows the number of hairs in your head, that he keeps track of that. He knows how many you had in your head when you got into the shower this morning, and he knows how many you had when you got out. Probably less than what you started with, right? And if God keeps track of even the most insignificant details of your life, then surely he is tracking the big things too. God tracks the sparrows in the field and the hairs on your head. And so Jesus says, don't be afraid. He says, you are worth more than many sparrows. Nothing happens apart from your Father's will. God knows you intimately, even down to the hairs in your head, and he will take care of you. And so Jesus sends us out on mission. And when he sends us out on mission, he tells us that you can expect opposition. And he tells us that opposition can be very strong. It could even result in arrest, physical harm, or even death. And yet, even though you go forth expecting opposition, we do not need to be afraid, because truth will win out. We fear God and therefore nothing else, and God has promised to take care of you. Expect opposition, but don't be afraid, because God is with you and he has promised to help you. So our word for this morning, as you go out on mission, as you go forth to share the gospel, be prepared. Be ready to face opposition. Not everyone is going to like what you have to say. But that is no reason to bail on the mission, because people still need Jesus. And if you don't share Jesus with the people that God brings your way, tell me, who will? You see, part of following Jesus is sharing Jesus with others. None of us likes conflict, but the mission must go on. So go forth, share the gospel, don't be afraid. God will take care of you. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these words of warning and encouragement. I kind of like the words of encouragement better than the words of warning, but Lord, I think you understand that. But Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. Sometimes we're quiet when we should speak up. And Lord, if we're honest, the reason why we're quiet when we should speak up is because we're afraid. We're afraid of what people will say about us. Slander. We're afraid of what people might do to us. Isolate us. Mock us. We're afraid of conflict. We don't want to stir up a ruckus. But Lord Jesus, you told us to expect that. That's no reason not to share the gospel. Lord, there are people all around us who need you as their Savior. And for many of them, we are the only person available to share the gospel with them. Lord, it's a new year. We're making new resolutions. We're trying to form new patterns and habits. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this new year to go forth on mission as you have called us, and to be fearless, to be bold in sharing the good news with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.